Good morning, everyone. For those who are visiting or weren't here the last time that we did this, instead of a sermon, we have a panel where we will discuss one of the characteristics of what it is to be the bride of Christ, the church. And one of those characteristics is fervent prayer. We are called to be a people of prayer. And Jesus demonstrated that to us in so many ways. We remember in the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed and he knew that he was on his way to the cross. And he went aside to pray to his Father. Because obviously that was an enormous thing that he was facing. But he asked, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And that is one of the essential elements of prayer, is praying according to the will of God. And we see throughout the Bible, and a lot of it in the New Testament, examples, and Paul, in many of his epistles, had examples of how to pray. Because the testimony of a prayer life is so meaningful. We can look at books, we can see so many ways where we can be taught, and there's some amazing books that teach us how to pray. But the Word of God is one of the main ways that we find that. And then also among ourselves, our testimony of prayer is so powerful, where we can encourage each other into a life of prayer. And I was thinking, prayer is as essential to our spiritual growth as breathing is to our natural health. If we stop breathing, the consequences are obvious. And so I would imagine that for us, praying is just as essential. And so we are having the second panel. And on our panel today, we have Pierre, Renee, and Edgar. And they will share aspects of their life. And the whole idea of having the panel, instead of a sermon on prayer, is really to hear the experiences of brothers and sisters who worship among us, because we are supposed to encourage each other. And that is really what the intention is. Not saying that they have it all sorted, but rather to hear, what is it? How has God blessed them with their life of prayer? And so I looked up, as a good teacher, I looked up the meaning of the word fervent. Anybody have an idea what fervent means? Passionate. Other synonyms for fervent? Earnest. Dedicated. Continuous. Forceful. Heartfelt. And we can carry on with so many positive synonyms for the word fervent. And that is, and when we look at James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, the effectual or effective fervent prayer of the righteous man or woman in this case avails much. God hears and acts on our fervent prayer, not sort of like lukewarm prayers. So that is what he wants from us, that we have this faith and trust in him, that he will answer us as well. So we're going to, who did I say I'm starting with? Edgar. Edgar, won't you share with us, and it's really a conversation for us to understand what it is that these three have to share with us. Edgar has this amazing, I'd almost call it a gift, where during worship he would stand up and pray and read from the Word very often in our services. And I wanted to find out from you, Edgar, how did this come about that you feel confident to worship your God in church and to pray to him? And maybe if you also tell us, what has helped you develop a more regular prayer life?
Yeah, years ago, I think probably 40 years ago, it's almost longer than three quarters of the church here, I think we were still in Greytown, and I said, Lord, what is it that you want me, what gift have you, what gift do I have? People were talking about the giftings and so on, and just in my reading, the Lord led me to Isaiah chapter 50. And it was paraphrase. It says that I have given you the tongue to encourage. And I said, well, Lord, that's great, you know. And I try in the mornings to say, Lord, what is it that you have for me to share? You know, we can come to church just to receive. And I said, Lord, I want to come and be able to give as well. What is there that I can give? And quite often, just in my readings, the Lord will drop a word into my heart and say, thank you, Lord. And in the mornings, you listen. And I just want to thank Crossways for that opportunity for open worship and prayer and testimonies. Because that is where we are encouraged. And let us tune our ears to hear that which God has dropped in our heart. How does it fit in with the theme of the morning? So often, that word is spot on. As you share it, as the Lord drops a prayer in your heart, just be obedient to that. And that is what I found over the years, Greytown, Harry Smith, Donnybrook, Crichton, and back here again now. It's been a circle that God has just been so faithful in that. And the people that have come and said, we have been so encouraged. And I think it's just the obedience to that. And over the many years, Henry, I don't know whether that answers your question there with the sharing in the mornings and so on. Yes, there's sometimes, you sometimes miss it. But as a friend of mine says, be like Mr. Jones, eat the meat and spit out the bones. And so, but it's a case of being obedient, and as you step out in faith, God will honor that faith. And people will be encouraged, because he says in his word, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that for which it was purposed. And that is my prayer in the mornings too, or especially on a Saturday before coming to church. And if I can share some testimonies over all the years, you know, I came to the Lord in 1967, I think it was, and had the privilege of growing up in a loving family, and loved the Lord, and to serve the Lord. And yeah, where does one start with this? Where it happens? And I remember. Now, a lot of you don't know my story, but as a youngster, 18 years old, we were involved in a car accident, and my parents and a brother and a sister were killed in that car crash. And I asked God, I said, Lord, why? You know, we're allowed to ask that. And I was led to the scripture in Romans 8, verse 28. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I embraced that. And I said, thank you, Lord. You are faithful. You know. You can get me through this. And he did. Praise God, he did. He answered that prayer. Another instance was to do with that. To drive past that scene of the accident was something that I just, and I had to do that to drive to get home from visiting friends in Crichton to go back to Greytown. And my aunt called me aside and she says, Edgar, just remember, perfect love casts out all fear. So friends, if there are things in your life that are maybe hindering you or maybe you are fearful of, trust God to show you the way. He is faithful, and he will show you the way. He will lead you through. He gave me victory. He will give you victory in that as well. And going forward to Harry Smith, early 2000s, it was just before my late wife and my 25th wedding anniversary. We started getting a little bit agitated. Is this where God wants us to be? And we asked the Lord for his guidance. Lord, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And the Lord led me to that scripture, not just opening the Bible and, I heard the story of a guy who said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he opened the Bible and Judas went and hanged himself. And he thought, no, that can't be. Let me do it again. Lord, that can't be you. And he opened it again and said, go and do thou likewise. So that is a dangerous thing to do. But in my readings, the Lord just brought that scripture to mind, that I was reading. It says, return to the land of your father and your grandfather, and I will be with you. We had been in Harry Smith for 15 years, and both Dad and Granddad grew up in Natal. And I didn't know what God wanted us to do. And our 25th wedding anniversary, we invited the pastor and his wife and a few friends around. And Donnie said to us, he said, Edgar and Irene, for 25 years you've called yourselves Mum and Dad, which we did. Didn't realize pastors were so observant. And he said, there's a season coming where you're going to get to know each other as sweetheart, honey, angel, etc. It wasn't a month later I was retrenched. The fourth time in 7 years, and that scripture the Lord brought to mind again, return to the land of your father and your grandfather, and I will be with you. One phone call, and I phoned my aunt in Donnybrook. She said, Jeremy is looking for somebody in his shop to come and run the receiving. Come for an interview. The rest is history. We came to Donnybrook. We met Harvey and Renee, and lots of other people from Crichton that have now moved into the area here. But God was faithful in us being obedient and moving. And those 2 years that we spent on the farm in Donnybrook were special for Irene and I. We did not have the kids with us. They had all, normally we, you know, the parents kicked the kids out the house. They kicked us out the house. God moved us. And it was a special time of getting to know my wife as a lover, as a sweetheart, as a honey. And It was 2 short years, and God took her home. But God is faithful, and He heard our prayer. He answered, and He's been with us. And that is what I can say as I look back on life, that God answers prayer.
I think that's an excellent ending to that, because we serve a prayer answering God. He's faithful to do that. Thank you, Edgar, for sharing
that.
And Pierre, that actually is a starting point for you, because you have got stories of God answering your prayers. You've got stories about His timing and His purposes, and how you've learned that through talking to Him. Please share that with us.
Yeah, so God works in incredible ways. God works when He wants to work, how He wants to work, and through whom He wants to work. And what I've realized a lot about God is that God often makes you wait, but then once the timing is right, He works suddenly. So I just want to share a little testimony of Nafis, my wife, and our journey coming up into the Hilton community, to Crossways, and more specifically the purchase of our home back at the beginning of last year. So for a few years, we had already known that it's God's will for us to move into this area, to be in this community and raise children within this community. So we had made it a matter of prayer already probably about 5 years ago. And then at the beginning of last year, we really had an urgency to pray about moving up here. And so we made it an urgent matter of prayer with Nafis and I. And then we also, after the one service, I've actually written down the dates here. It was about a 2 or 3 year wait. But then when God said, yes, go ahead, I give you the green light, now is the time. 5th of January, week after the service, we prayed with the elders here about a house, and that really gave us an expectation, like this is about time now. Literally 3 days, a house came on the market. 2 days later, we viewed it and put an offer in on the same day. After a bit of negotiation and paperwork, a total of 2 weeks later, everything was done and signed. And obviously, there was still a wait for things to go through. But just how it was a wait, and then the go ahead, and then God worked, just very suddenly. And it's an incredible biblical principle, actually, that we see. If we have a look at Acts 2, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. And what did they do while they were waiting? They were in prayer. So, and then they waited 10 days and the Holy Spirit came. We see it also happening in the book of 2 Chronicles, when Hezekiah cleanses the temple. And right at the end of the chapter, so the context of that is the king before Hezekiah was an evil king. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. And then Hezekiah came, and that king was king for 16 years. Imagine 16 years, and I'm sure there were godly people praying, Lord, would there be deliverance for your people? And Hezekiah came, and in the first year of his reign, he cleansed the temple. And right at the end of that verse, then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people, since the events took place so suddenly. God of the suddenly. We see the same thing also in the book of Malachi, as well as in Isaiah. We look at stories like Joseph, overnight went from being in jail to being second charge of Israel. God is the God of the suddenly. And what He wants to do is He wants to partner with us in prayer. And I think that is the incredible testimony of God lays it on your heart, and you make it a matter of prayer, and you make it a matter of urgent prayer and of fervent prayer. and he allows you to come alongside him in the plans and the purposes that he has for you, and then ultimately come and bring them to fruition.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. For me, it's so exciting that we have a young person whose life is drenched in prayer, whose trust in God is so complete that you're able to depend on him so completely. Renee, many of us battle with the concept of a quiet time, of spending time, dedicated time, talking to God. Will you share with us how you have experienced quiet times and any other aspect of your walk with God?
I'm going to start with Philippians 4, 6 and 7 from the message Bible. And I'd like us to even really read it individually as you go, and slowly, and take it on board. It's a big one for me. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Just that particular version has been so meaningful for me. Our aim in doing this whole prayer panel has been that we would encourage each one to pray. So there's not one of us in this room that doesn't have a way to get this process going. So for some people, you may already have been doing that for years, and that's wonderful. For other people, you may think, not sure if that's my thing, or I don't really know how to do that. So what I did was I went through all sorts, over the many years, of different ways of praying and different things that you can try that might work for you, because there is no formula. God doesn't give us a prayer formula and say, this is how you pray and this is what you do when you have a quiet. He doesn't do that. He engages with us and leads us along. So my sharing will be from a very practical point of view of things that have worked for me over time. The very first thing I can remember doing as a new Christian was having a coffee date with Jesus. Literally, I did that. A chair here, a table, and a chair here. And I sat in this one and had my cup of coffee. I didn't go as far as actually making coffee for Jesus, but I had the cup there to remind me that this was a two-way conversation. This wasn't just me going, and please bless, and please do, and please stop this, and please, that it wasn't. I was trying to learn that it was like you go for a coffee date. So the other day I went for coffee with Jenny Clinton Parker, and I thought, I wonder how long we'll chat. Well, 2 hours later, we hadn't noticed that much time had passed. And it can be like that in our engaging with Jesus. It can be exactly that kind of an engaged, animated interaction. So the coffee date was one thing. I did arrow prayers. Arrow prayers are another big thing that I do just right then and there. Something crops up, a crisis crops up. There's no reason why you need to wait and say, well, I'll pray about that tomorrow morning. It's right then and there. So now, like Amy now hurts, and I think, Lord, she mustn't be hurt. And that's the arrow prayer right then. Protect. Journaling is another thing that I've used effectively. And I was thinking, is that a thing? Is that a biblical thing? It actually is. If you look in Habakkuk 2:2, it talks about write down your prayers, write down what the Lord. And lots of people, if you look around here, lots of people are writing down things. And it's just what the Lord's highlighting to you just right now. So journaling has been something which has been useful for me. Right at the moment, I'm doing a Lectio 365, which is it's a wonderful app. I feel very proud of myself that I'm using apps at this stage of my life. But Lectio 365 is an app, and they have a very simple format for praying, and it's been lovely for me. They use the acronym PRAY, P for pause, and for someone who's tends to be an A personality and isn't really good at pausing, that's good. It just says, just slow down, pause, reflect on scripture. And there's a big chunk of time to reflect on scripture. And only then comes the asking. And then after the asking, even comes the yielding. Because it's not necessarily, you know, what you ask for is not necessarily the outcome. The prayer, the answer might look slightly different. There are lots of different things. There's also praying scripture. Dan, our friend, Dan Simbe, he always, that's what he does, he prays scripture. And one that's been really great for me was that one in Psalm 127, verse 2, that says, he gives his beloved sleep. So I do something else, actually, for sleep. When I see Milani, then I think about just... I pray when I'm awake at night and I can't sleep, I pray the alphabet. So I say, Lord, who shall I pray for that starts with A? So I've prayed much for Anna. That's what I think of Milani. I pray it starts with Anna. And sometimes I get to D, E. Zach, I'm afraid... But I'm afraid you haven't had quite as much prayer as what Anna has. So the alphabet has been a practical way for me just to pray through. And quietly, while you're focusing on who the Lord's showing you to pray, before too long, you find you actually are asleep. So, Zach, maybe I should start with Z.
You need to do some
first stuff. Yeah. Anyway, that thing about granting his beloved sleep is has been a lovely thing for me. But that verse, Psalm 127, says, don't you know, this is also in the message, don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? So I've often seen that answered. But if you know my story, and many probably don't, the very next verse in Psalm 127 says, don't you see that children are God's best gift, the fruit of the womb, his generous legacy? Okay, so that can see in the verse about giving his beloved rest. I've seen lots of that answered often. The very next verse I've never seen answered. That's something... Yeah, as I was saying, it's never been answered. So there's a case of the one verse, you praying scripture, comes to fruition on the regular. The very next verse, for me, didn't ever come to fruition. It was a long, long process, and you must know we prayed. We prayed, and did everything else that was required, but we prayed. We prayed and prayed, and... It was it's a prayer that's never been answered. And I can't say to you that's easy or that's, you know, that's okay. It's tough. It's been a tough, long road. But I can say with some sort of understanding and insight that sometimes he does answer prayers and sometimes he doesn't. And there's not a pat answer or a formula to that. So I started out giving you different thoughts and ideas. So praying scripture is one. persistence is another one. Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. We've got it there. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That's the one, persistence. We just need to carry on. We recently did a teaching with Roz in our ladies group, where the guy explained what persistent prayer is. It's like, I think we've all seen those dominoes that you stack up, standing upright, one domino, next domino, next domino, and each time you pray persistently, you're putting up another domino, and at some point, God is going to tip that domino, and the whole thing will then. All the way around, down, and the prayer will be answered. So there's a persistence that's required. I just need to end with a couple of testimonies. I was doing a Bible study with Harvey called The Prayer of Jabez. Some of you older folk will remember that was a thing. We all studied the prayer of Jabez. And he says in that, that prayer was, enlarge my territory. And so that was our prayer at that time, where our children were finishing school. And I said, Lord, I need a project, something that's going to be. I'd always wanted to run a business of my own. And it's very hard to do that when you live in the sticks. We read it like 30 Ks from the nearest town. So I couldn't see any way that prayer was going to be answered. But the big home on the farm became available, a 600 square meter house, and we were praying together saying, Lord, what do we do with this house? Your natural inclination is, okay, we're going to do a B&B. Nobody was going to come there for a B&B. So we continued. We stood together in that empty house and we said, Lord, what do we do? And it was one of those light bulb moments. I opened my eyes, said, love, I think we're going to open an Alzheimer's home. And he said, what? When his mum had Alzheimer's at the time, so we had some insight into the shortcomings for care for them, for the folks suffering with Alzheimer's. The need was there. And so we literally just started. So it was a bit like your story. Then step by step by step, the Alzheimer's home came into being, and 6 months later we were open. So that was a real sort of, how are you going to enlarge my territory? I don't know. I'm just praying it. And he did. So we then ran that for 15 years, had 15, 16 people at a time there with ministry ongoing, and we had many answers to prayer within that. I could engage you for a long time on that, but there's one in particular which revolves around prayer, which I just wanted to share. We had a gentleman who was extremely aggressive. If you know Alzheimer's, you know that aggression is part of, or can be part of, that process. And we'd already had an incident where he'd knocked over a very frail little lady and she'd broken her hip. So we had that. So, you know, we knew this man's a challenge. But if we took him to his room and we knelt next to the bed with him, we had to do that part because that triggered his mind to know this was a time. This is what you do when you pray next to your bed. And we would kneel together, and he would pray the most passionate, most meaningful, deep prayers. He knew that posture was his praying posture. There would never be a sign of aggression. It would disappear like it had never existed. And so we got to learn that that's what you do with him. When you can see that aggression emerging, we would take him, kneel next to his bed. So that meant that all of us, whoever was on duty that day, was praying. We were on our knees next to him. So we were all in that attitude of prayer. So that's one of the testimonies that I remember from that. So, yeah, I think I've seen answered prayer. I've seen unanswered prayer, but that doesn't stop me from continuing to pray.
Renee, thanks so much for sharing that. I'm going to just spring a last one on all three of you. What one bit of advice can you give us on either starting our prayer life or deepening our prayer life? What one bit of advice can you give to us? In no particular order. Pierre, you want to go first?
Yep. I'll go before these two steal mine. And that is, if you're married, pray with your spouse. The whole testimony that I shared this morning, it was prayer together, Nafis and I praying together. And then sort of the last part of the testimony, which I sort of forgot to skip, was we then moved to Hilton and then we had a baby, like, soon after. So that was pretty cool. So that whole thing of moving into the community and raising children in the community then came to pass as well. But yeah, to answer that question, pray as a couple. Pray as husband and wife together.
Excellent. Thanks for that.
I think one of the things that I didn't also forgot in mine was fasting and praying. The time that Tavi and I most effectively pray together was triggered by you saying praying together is when we're fasting. Because now there's no focus on the food or what we're going to eat or what we're going to... That time becomes time that we pray together. So fasting, although it seems tough and it sounds really spiritual, it is so worth... It's such a worthwhile exercise to do, because if you say you're too busy, if you're fasting, then even just the time that you would use... for eating, you will use for prayer, and somehow it feels really effective when you're just eliminating the food and the need for food and the rumbly tummy and all of that. It becomes a different kind of focus.
Thanks, Renee. Edgar.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as young parents, teach your children to pray. We have got many testimonies as a family where our children prayed and prayers were answered. So that is also a very, very important aspect of prayer, because there's no doubt in their minds. God answers prayer. And if I may just share one. With, you know, we had four children, and it was time before TV, and no, but God blessed us, and with, well, we had three at that stage, and Irene, my late wife, came into the room, and there was Timothy and Annette, the two eldest ones. Candace was small. And she said, "What are you two talking about?" Because suddenly it was quiet when Mum walked into the room. They said, "No, we've been discussing and asking God for a brother." And we had decided that three was enough. And well, it wasn't long after that Irene discovered that she was pregnant. And we told the children... You know, they were excited. Now that is now their answer to prayer. We're going to get a brother. And you know the chances are 50-50, you know. So we said, but listen, it might be a sister. No, we asked God for a brother. And that is what he's going to give us. And we said, well, what if it's a sister? Oh, we'll give it to Auntie Helene. She's got three boys. So but it's just that childlike faith that is an encouragement to the parents when they see their children praying and the excitement when prayers are answered. And that is the excitement we need to cultivate as well as we pray.
Thanks, Edgar, and thanks to the three of you for sharing. Renee spoke about Lectio 365, which I think a number of us use as a part of our prayer life. I want to close this morning's session with the closing prayer that we have every day at the end of Lectio 365. So if you don't mind praying with me. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. And Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Amen.